We've been going through 1 Peter, and of course the theme of 1 Peter is suffering. Well, and we all suffer through different ways and different times, and we should never compare ourselves to one another with suffering. We need to be praying for one another as we suffer. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 19, and I entitled this Responsibilities that we have as Christians, and I've got 12 of them here. But last week, of course, you need to have a basis to work on, so I'm going to tell you what we talked about, and I was wrong. We had Father's Day last week, so this is how time goes by so quick. The week before last, we had titled, The Midst of Suffering. We looked at different types of suffering that we all go through. We also looked at how to deal with suffering. We looked at one of the causes is our nation, because it's turned its back on God. Why are we going through so much hassle? Somebody said the other day that we could have dealt with Iran years ago if one of the presidents, which I'm not going to mention, dealt with this. But sometimes you have pacifists, people who put things on pause and say, we don't want to deal with it. And then other than that, with our issues as a nation, we looked at missionaries, how they suffer too as well. But you got those missionaries that are called, and regardless of what happens, they have to stick to this. They just stick to it, and they just go. And as they used to call the old cattle drive, you had the ramrod, right? You had the ramrod. He took charge of the cattle drives, and he went through. And then, of course, you had pastors and churches that we looked at suffering, looked at why Job had to suffer so much. And so we had a nice smorgasbord there of reasons why we are in the midst of suffering. So Peter continues with this, and he says, we see number one, we need to watch and pray. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. So we're talking about the last days we're living in. What are the last days, Pastor? Well, that's exactly, it's from the time of Pentecost, the church age, to the time of the rapture. We're living in the last days. Christ could come back at any time you're listening. We need to be prepared. We need to live like my philosophy is guess what? I'm going to die tomorrow. So I'm going to live each day that I can for the Lord, because I know I'm going to die tomorrow. Okay? Some may think that's a little extreme, but you know what? If we have something that will keep us going to keep our eyes on the Lord, Chris, you're precious. I love that little kid. You know, life can be so serious, right? Then you have Chris comes in. You know, just a precious little guy. He's all kinds of all kinds. Okay, so give him a hug for us. Lots of kisses. So all things are at hand. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Live it like you should. James 5:8, you are also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads and hears from those words of prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So all things are at hand. Therefore, be watchful in your prayers. There was a man named William Miller. He studied the book of Daniel for 14 years back in 1844. And what happened was, is Daniel was not saved. Watch and pray. Be careful, because there's a lot of churches are teaching nowadays, I'm okay, you're okay. So you got a lot of churches like that. All right. So that means anything goes, any doctrine goes. So apparently he studied the book of Daniel for a number of years, and he had actually a date and time. This is back in the early 1800s. And he decided, you know what? I know when the Lord's going to come back. So back in the early 1900s, and I got the date and time up behind the pulpit, and I forgot what day and time it was. Who cares, right? Because we don't know when he's going to come back. The point is that you had people sell their houses. People actually went to the graveyards, and they're expecting their relatives to come back from the dead. This is a true story. And by the way, the man was a Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh-day Adventists are not like what we teach here, okay? They believe that Jesus spoke, but yet he didn't speak about hell. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in the atonement of Christ, that Christ covered our sins. Remember the picture of the tabernacle and the lid. And remember the priest would come in once a year with his hyssop, and he would sprinkle the top of the ark of the covenant inside the Holy of Holies. And it was the idea of being covered. They don't believe that. And there are a number of other things that they don't believe. But they will deceive you and sound like I am today. And they're like, oh, okay, I got it. He sounds just like a Bible preaching person. Or any of you were to exposit the Word of God and just preach from the Word of God, not with a whole bunch of feelings. And, ooh, I feel so good. And then when you leave church, you crash. It's like you eat a bunch of sugar, and after a while, you know, you just crash. You know, that's what emotionalism can do. So, this guy led a lot of people astray. We need to pray about that, because we have a lot of churches today that don't preach from the Word of God. Yes, they may preach from it, but they don't accurately describe what is there. And they add a lot of works onto the salvation. And we need to pray for people who go to those churches that just go there because their mother and their father or aunt and uncle went there. So, pray. Pray for the church. So, moving right along here, we see that, number one, we need to watch and pray. Number two, we need to love one another. In verse 8, above all things, be fervent in love for one another. That word fervent has the idea of being outstretched. It has the idea of a horse being stretched its neck. How many of you all been to the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont Stakes? How many of you love horses today? I like horses. I've only been on them a few times, but I realize that you have to master that horse. You have to tell them who's boss, because these horses are big, and you know it could take about four or five of me easily. Well, anyway, there was one horse. My point is, during 1973, he was the Triple Crown winner. He was the Secretariat. As you remember, Secretariat. It was a phenomenal horse, okay? It had a heart that was three times bigger. You know, the regular horse's heart is 8.5 pounds. Secretariat's was 22 pounds. Why it won the race is because it had a big heart. God is looking at our hearts today, and I know some of you have such a big heart. You guys are just awesome. And what happens is that we need to be fervent. It has the idea of galloping, a horse galloping and stretching its neck out. You never see a horse withdrawn back. You know, those jockeys can only be about 100 pounds. You know, they got to be very light. They can be very fragile and very quick. And they got another horses, and the horse is stretching her neck. We are running the race today. Let's keep on stretching our necks out. That word fervent. Let's keep on galloping along spiritually. Keep doing what you're doing. God will bless you. God has a plan. God knows what you're thinking. And that's the best part. So we need to be fervent in love with a big heart, for the love will cover a multitude of sins. So, we have 1 John 4:10 tells us this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his only son for the atonement sacrifices of our sins. And like when I gave you that illustration of the covenant of the ark, the lid there inside the Holy of Holies, it has the idea of his atoning, his covering. So, we need to love one another. And we'll cover a multitude of sins. We need to look at one another every day a fresh way and say, you know what, I love you. I love you. I don't care. You know, it's not necessarily what people think about you, is what you think about them. And some people have said in the past, it's not how you judge yourself, it's how others judge you. Well, you know what? When you got love, it works both ways, right? So, you work it out from there with God's love, because God's love covers what? A multitude of sins. any kind of sin. So if you're sitting here today and saying, you know what, I had done something that was not reasonable with my life or another person, remember, perfect love, what? Cast it out fear. Go to that person and say, I love you. I don't care. You messed up. You did something wrong. You could have offended me. So I love you anyway. And you know what? Nothing can touch you. You know, so says here, be hospitable. And so that's another way. In verse 9, says, be hospitable one to another without grumbling. You know, there is a story about a lady who had a daughter, and they made this beautiful cover or spread for a table, and it had all kinds of things sewed into it, and it was just perfect. And they invited some folks over, some neighbors, and they were the, you know, they came on over, and they sat down, and everybody was sitting around the table. And the little 9-year-old helped mom, who worked really hard with this table cover. She was very nervous, very fidgety. And she, by accident, just knocked a cup of tea over on the table. Well, dad was there at the head of the table, and he looked. And right away, he got up and he knocked his cup of tea over, and he started laughing. And the daughter just looked really scared, but she felt very comfortable because dad knocked his tea over, and he winked at her and says, it's okay. And then he started laughing. And then the guests looked around. They said, it's okay. So they knocked their tea over. I'm saying, don't do that. Don't do that. We can go over some things. So they all started laughing. And finally, the mother kind of like, just as the kids would say, just chilled out. And she knocked her tea over. And they all laughed. And of course, let's just, you know, they had the gift of serving. They said, you know, let's move the dishes off. And they were laughing. Thought the whole thing was silly. But the point was, it's that's what love does. It covers things. Why do people get upset? Why do people get so worried? It's because we are so focused on things. And I understand they're important. But you know what? God's love, if we just relax and not try to hurt one another. So being hospitable, that's a good thing. It's a responsibility. And we see here in verse 10 goes on here. And remember, we should be hospitable, but to one another without grumbling. And as each one received a gift. Now, we all have gifts. And there is a story told that a man back in the 1700s, he knew that there was a bad day. There was a bad day because the weather wasn't right. There was a bad day because things were going wrong. And he decided in his heart, you know, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to do what's right. So he, within his heart, decided, you know what? I'm going to make the best of my day. I'm going to use this gift that I have to encourage other people. In the Bible, we have gifts that we minister to one another. We have the gifts found in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. We have the gift of prophecy at the time. The Word of God was not written, so people prophesied the Word of God. There was some of you had the gift of service, trying to serve one another. Some of you here had the gift of teaching. You can teach one another. Some of you have the gift of exhortation when you just have it. And we need that. Others have of giving, others of leadership, others of mercy. But what we don't have is the sign gifts. And that's obviously speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, of wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles and prophecies. They were all at a certain time in the first century, because the Word of God was not complete. That which is not finished, that which will come, which is complete will be done away with the other things. So you have that. And then you have the ministry gifts. You have those found in Ephesians, which was the prophets, evangelists, the pastors, teachers, and so on and so forth. What? Build up the body of Christ. We are here, what? To equip one another today. Okay? If you have a gift, remember, you may possess a lot of these gifts. Some of you may have serving, exhortation. Some of you here may have teaching, leadership, maybe in a very small way, but there are certain gifts that are very much magnified in your life. Some of you may be great at exhortation, but you know your teaching capabilities aren't that great, but you know you can teach one another. So remember, these gifts are important. So we need to, as each one has received a gift, our responsibility is to minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Of course, by the grace of God, so are we, right? And if anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God, the Word of God. And of course, it's speaking about the Holy Spirit speaking to us as it comes out from our mouths as we read the Word of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with all ability which God supplies. In all things, God may be what? Glorified. So, I heard the chimes. I heard, what was that? Okay. It's a, oh, church, man, great. Turn it up. I love hearing that, you know. So, that God may be glorified, and to him may be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, what Peter is getting at is that the end is at hand. We have responsibilities. Okay, let's get back to the outline here. We have responsibility. Some people, as Erwin Lutzer used to say, many Christians long for the rapture, not because of their intense love for the Lord, but because it symbolized an escape from the stress of our age. Some of us saying, Lord, please come back because I'm having such a bad day. We've all done that, okay? Or it's too hot in here. Hurry up. I want to get back home where it's nice and cold and I can stick my head in the freezer, right? You ever done that? Don't say you haven't because we all have. But, you know, God looks at our heart. He looks at our love. Do we love him regardless if it's cold? And, you know, the Streeters have been through the cold since they've been here. You know, just getting some of their cards and their prayer letters and so on and so forth. And, you know, and then, so we need to know that the end is at hand. During World War II, there was a 60-year-old Army officer named General Douglas MacArthur, who was at the Philippine Islands at that time. And you want to talk being hot, you know, it's hot out there. He declared, I will return 2.5 years later, October 20th, 1944. He came back and he stood on the soil of the Philippines, announced on the radio, this is the voice of freedom. The people of the Philippines, I have returned. You know, in these last days, we have our freedom. We should be very thankful that we have our freedom. We have the responsibility to tell people, you know, you can be set free in Christ because Christ has set us free. So we need to watch and pray. To love one another is our responsibility. Be hospitable. Minister with the gifts that we have and the talents too. Some of you can do things that I could never do. So we need to be there for one another, help one another, encourage one another, and to glorify Christ in all we do. Because we know he's going to come back, you know, and our God can do anything, amen? You know, I've seen him do miracles in your lives. And, you know, God can do a lot, and very thankful for that. So moving on here to verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. So they're going to come and they're going to go. And remember, they're there to strengthen you, to help you, not to hurt you. Okay? God is in the business of healing us and making us stronger every day. So, as though some strange thing has happened to you. You know, just as some statistics here, as you know, there's been 43 million Christians have been killed for their faith since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It would surprise you that more Christians have been martyred since the beginning of the 19th century, and it has in all past times as that. There has been 26 million documented cases of martyrdom in the 20th century alone. There are more than 200 million Christians. Over 60 nations face persecution every day. 60%, listen to this, young people, of them are children. 60%. And this is happening right in the present. So how does that happen? In your schools, in your universities, it's very hard to be a Christian because you've got a lot of that woke philosophy going around. And we got all our attention right now focused on Iran and Israel. And that's good. We need to be praying. But also, too, wokeism is very much alive and well. It's another form of communism. If you look at the Communism Manifesto, the Humanistic Manifesto, and, of course, the World Council of Churches Manifesto with wokeism, they all line up. It's different things in different packages. They all deliver it to you in different packages, but it's the same thing. Okay, Christians are the most persecuted people in the world. I don't know, right now, you might have missionaries that you all might be called to be missionaries someday, some young people here. You never know what God's going to do. But remember, let me encourage you. If he's calling you, respond to him. Respond to him. Don't ignore him. Ignore the evil one over here, because he wants to cause all kinds of confusion and doubt and silly thoughts that go through your head. Ignore it. Walk away from it. You know, read a good book. Read the Word of God. Get away from all the garbage that's in this world, because it's the number one reasons why young people stopped coming to church a long time ago, while our churches are not just filled with young people, because they've been sucked in by the great evil one who likes to sucker people. And then we see there's a lot of persecution and the rise and expansion of Islamic ways, and that's the fastest growing religion because of the multiplication of births and what they're doing. They're taking over, like in Michigan, they're taking over in England, and, you know, all over the place. These people are on the rise, very subtle, very slowly, and that's how the enemy likes to work. These people need the Lord. They need the Lord. And then on the lighter side, looking at some strange thing happen to you, there was a young couple that were debating on getting another vehicle, and the wife's birthday was coming up, and she wanted one of these hot little sports cars called a TR3, a Triumph TR3, 1963, really cute car. And so the husband is like, okay. And she says she wanted the fast little sports-like car so she could zip through the traffic and around town. And so things were pretty much thought was a great idea. And then her birthday was coming up, and the man's wife said, well, you want something to go to 0 to 200 miles an hour, I got you just the perfect thing. She goes, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. About some strange thing that happens. Well, she ran outside, and there was a little scale. She goes, I don't get it. She goes, well, don't you know that it can go from 0 to 200 in 4 seconds or less? So, that, you know, that's what a bathroom scale does. It goes that fast. But the man was very compassionate. He says, well, okay, honey, I was just teasing you. And he went in the garage, and she had her TR3. But the point is, whether it's a bathroom scale that goes 0 to 204 seconds, or if it's a TR3, okay, that you have a God that can take care of you when something strange happens. So just remember that, you know, things do happen in life. But it says in verse 13, but rejoice in extent that partaking of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad and exceedingly with joy. So we need to rejoice. And we have here in Acts 5:40-42, and they called the apostles and they flogged them. This is Peter and John, because they had been causing so many hassles. And it's our responsibility to be ready for anything, as they were. And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. You ever had somebody tell you don't do it? And you're like, I got to do this anyway. And unless they physically manhandle you, you're going to do it anyway. If you know it's right, anything that goes against God's word, even against the law, we're supposed to obey the law. But if it exceeds the word of God, then we have to follow God instead of man's law. It doesn't mean we need to be lawbreakers either. It means we need to follow the law. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had come themselves worthy of suffering disgrace in the name of Jesus. Day after day in the temple and the courts and the house to house, they never stopped preaching, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. So they were told by the religious people, they remember, they put Peter in jail. And remember, an angel came and opened the doors up. If you are stuck in a situation and a sin, you can ask God for deliverance. Say, how do I do that? God can break those chains. He can set the captive free by just claiming the Lord and that sin that's in your life. Don't ever give up on God because He's not going to give up on you. It's when we disappoint ourselves, when we turn our backs on God. So we have that responsibility to rejoice. And they did it anyway, Peter and John. So they rejoiced because they had counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ also. But the attitude is not only a preparation for more rejoicing. Being able to rejoice now in the midst of suffering prepares for us being overjoyed when Jesus comes in glory to be revealed. Ask yourself, why do I rejoice? Because like we said a few sermons ago, look, it's the Holy Spirit that will trigger that joy in you. In yourself, you can't do it yourself. If you have a flat tire along the road, you're thinking, oh, okay, how am I going to deal with this? All right. Well, the Holy Spirit within you will give you wisdom. Okay. Ask of God and He will give it to you liberally. He will tell you, you know, this is what you need to do. There is a reason why this all happened. To honor and glorify Jesus Christ, to ask people, where can I get my tire fixed? What do I need to do? Okay? Remember, there's a reason for everything under heaven, okay? Which is there's a purpose, like Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a reason for everything under the sun. And so we see here that we need to rejoice. Verse 14 goes on to say here, for if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. Okay, so at this time, Peter was writing this back in 64 AD. Remember, Nero had pretty much decided he wanted to destroy Rome because of a fire that got out of control. And he let big portions of Rome to burn. But what Nero was thinking in his back of his mind, he was an architect. He was a natural. He wanted to rebuild Rome better than before. Now, hold on, there's a reason why I'm saying this. Well, in every place, every country, there's always a scapegoat. There's somebody that they've got to go after. Somebody asked me in church this morning, well, do you think they're going to go after Christians eventually? Well, look at it this way. Iran said death to America. Death to Israel. Christians, history repeats itself. They go after the Christians eventually. Say, I don't see it. Oh, it's alive and well, the spirit of Antichrist. Remember what happened with our previous president, what problems we had in our country. We had a lot of problems, and things were going downhill fast, and they were coming after Christians. Well, again, it could happen again here. Okay, so there are members of Christians everywhere that are suffering. In Nigeria, I gave that example of that lady who had to watch as Islamic jihadists came in and killed her husband, killed her kids in front of her, and then since she was right-handed, decided to chop off her right hand. And there was a picture of her sitting in this room in a hospital bed. Her eyes were like saucers. She was in total state of shock. And you say, how can anybody rejoice with that? Remember, they crucified Christians then, too, as well. Okay, and it was like to show you that nobody messes with Rome. Well, you know, God's saying rejoice because what? You're going to heaven. This life is going to go by so quick. Live each day for Jesus. I'm pleading you the cause, my case. If I was a lawyer pleading for this defendant, I'd be saying, oh, please, this Jesus, he's innocent. He didn't do anything. He was made sin that knew no sin. And yet, he's such a wonderful Savior. If you're online, accept him today because your life's nothing without. You can have everything you want. And God's more important about you than what you have in this lifetime. This lifetime will pass away. But let me encourage you, you have so much more. You have heaven to gain, and you have this life to shun eventually. But you know what? Use, Christians, my beloved, use each day to its fullest and encourage one another, build each other up, love one another, and so on and so forth. So getting back to Nero, he had a scapegoat. He went after Christians, and he did some most horrible things. And persecution went on for about 300 years. That can happen again because life changes. Each day is not the same. You wake up every morning. It's not the same as it was yesterday. Things change. Plans change. Okay? Blessings come. Blessings go. So, moving right along here. So, we see here that he goes on to say here, blessed are you for the spirit of glory of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blaspheming, but on your part, he is glorified. In other words, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Okay? Please don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me encourage you. Encourage one another. And don't kid yourself. We have missionaries here today. And just because they work with Christians doesn't mean they're not being persecuted or having problems. Are you kidding me? With some of the stories I've heard from Bill and from Brian and from Matt and other missionaries, oh, they get their full share, okay? So we need to pray for them, like the man said up here. It says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, evildoer, a busybody in other people's matters. So we need to pray for people who are living like the devil, who call themselves Christians, and you doubt their salvation. That's between them and the Lord. We need to pray for them, too. Regardless if they give the name of Christ a bad name, and you know what? You can't live for the devil and you can't live for Christ at the same time. It doesn't work. Either Jesus says you'll hate one or you love the other. Love Jesus today. And it says here, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Do right. Do right. For the time is it come for the judgment to begin in the house of God. It begins with our home, with you, I, okay? Say, what has happened to our government? I'll tell you very much, very well what happened. You had the family structure fall apart. People who called themselves Christians did not repent. What you see is in a reflection. We know this, parents. If you do wrong at home, your kids eventually are going to shatter on the rooftops, right? You're going to tell everybody. Well, the same thing has happened in our homes, has happened to our schools. The teachers teach our kids. Same thing has happened to our government, has turned out that way because God is not answering prayers because of sin in people's lives. You know, if we need to call upon the Lord. We need to seek His face while we can and turn from our wicked ways. It starts at home. It's reflection for everything else. It starts with the church everywhere else. And our country is suffering because of it. And somebody says, well, you know, if this has happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, well, the same thing is going to happen. He's going to have to apologize. I don't think that. I think God doesn't have to. He is God. He is Lord. He doesn't have to apologize anything. It says that he went ahead and was saddened that he had made man. He repented that he made man. In other words, he wasn't sorry because he made man back in the time of Genesis chapter 6 when the flood happened, but because the man did not repent. God didn't want to wipe out the whole world in a flood, which, by the way, is, if you look through geography and more and more people who don't believe in the Bible are saying this is true. This is really true. And You know, there was a flood at one time. They're just trying to cover everything up because they want evolution to proceed. They will lie. They will cheat. They will get rid of evidences that have been found from the flood. And so it begins with the house of God first. We need to turn back to Him. And as the responsibilities, we need to return back to the Lord, because God is there. He's like the father in the story last week of the prodigal son. He came back and the father ran to him. You know, can't get any worse for a Jewish young man be feeding swine, eating with the swine what they had. And the father was looking for his son that came back, and his son came, remember last week, he came to an end of himself. That's where we need to be today. It's coming to an end of ourselves. So, finishing up here, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, he does a quote out of Proverbs 10:12. He says, it is, the righteous one is scarcely saved. Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Where will they be? You know, there are many. Broad is the road to destruction, but there are few that find it. And there are very few that find the narrow way and the broad way. And we here today, I pray by the grace of God, we are the very few. We need to tell people, you need to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. The days are coming at hand. The time is at hand. Therefore, verse 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him. He's doing a good and faithful Creator. That word commit is a banking term. You ever heard somebody say, oh, I can bank on that? It's like, yeah, I can put that in my bank. It has the idea to entrust, to actually, it's depositing something for safekeeping. And the idea is to commit our lives, our souls to Him. You know, we have bank accounts, we have saving accounts, checking accounts, and we don't want anybody to get into it. Well, in heaven, God has a place just there for you and I, all of us in heaven. And so He has done this. He has committed to us. He has banked on it for us, our salvation. Just do yourself a favor. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And look at all the things that we inherited as Christians. We don't have time for that. And so, that must be Christopher, right? He says, time up! You're over, you're done. Okay. So, I'm going to close with this. So there was like 19 points. Watch and pray, love one another, be hospitable, minister the gifts, glory to Christ, not be surprised, rejoice, glory in God's Spirit, with responsibility. Don't bring suffering on yourself. Don't be ashamed to suffer for Christ, except as purifying. Continue to do good and commit yourself. So, those responsibilities. Closing with this. There was a lady at Wednesday night. We went up to the grocery store, and it was raining. Remember Wednesday? It was raining. It was cool. Okay. And we went there, and There was a lady who came out. As soon as we came out of the store, her face was all red. She was crying. It was like, oh, and I can't be one of these fake preachers who start crying and everything. I can't do that. I don't like being an actor. But she was crying. I was standing there with Kimberly. I was like, oh my goodness. I said, are you okay? You know, she was out of herself. And I said, what's wrong? You know, some people today, I'm not saying you all, because you all would have done the same thing. You would have come over and said, can I help you? My goodness, what can I do for you? She was around 60 years of age. She came out with her cart. She goes, I didn't have any money in my account. She goes, I went there, and she goes, I couldn't pay for my bill. I forgot to, you know, how, you know, we all forget sometimes, forget to put stuff from the savings into the checking, and she goes, there was no money there. And she goes, I was so upset, so humiliated. But she goes, somebody gave me the money so I could pay for it. And all, you know how women are, guys, they change all of a sudden, you're like, oh, you know, it's a woman thing, right? Anyway, that's why the guys are there with women. Anyway, So she said, somebody paid for my bill. I was like, great. I thought there was something wrong, but the Lord was like, ah, responsibility. You know, it's like you ever had somebody go through a drive-in at McDonald's, you pull up, oh, it's already been paid for you. The guy up in front of you paid for it. I'm like, wow. There are really some good, as the kids would say, some really cool people or cool cats out there, like they say years ago. But, you know, how, just pray that we can be responsible. Just let the love ooze out. If your glass is halfway full, look at it as just being halfway full. Don't look at it half being halfway empty. You've heard that illustration. It's an oldie but goodie. But, you know, we need to be responsible. And that's what God's called us to do, and I'm done. Okay, Chris, I'm done. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you're so good to us. Many times we have failed with our responsibilities. We have messed up. We didn't do it on purpose. We're just tired. We need a break. We need somebody we can go to you in love. And we thank you, Lord, but we have lovers here, people who love Christ, who don't judge us, who care for us, that say it's time to move on. Put it behind you and move on. And that's what we got to do with our lives. And thank you that you love us. And thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for our sins. It was your death, burial, and resurrection. Pray today here too with an invitation. Look, maybe you're not moving on with your life. You're stuck in a rut. And you need to get out of there. And you need to put it in and drive and just go. Get on with your life with the Lord. The devil wants to hold you behind. Don't hide your blessings. Don't hide from God. Just be there. Be real with him today and say, Lord, it's okay. I'm going to take my responsibilities and I want to be blessed and I want to bless others. Pray if you don't know Christ today as your Savior, that by faith you believe and you ask in your heart and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you. I realize that you're calling me and I will respond in your love what you did for me. I believe by faith it all, because through it all, Jesus did it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And,